What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Friday edition of Unpaved with Sean Salisbury. I'm Adam Sager. Of course, he is Sean Salisbury. The NFL kicked off last night. We got some fun games in college football this weekend, including Michigan and Oklahoma. We'll talk about that later. NFL Red Zone. I think people may have jumped a little quicker, but also they did a bad job of explaining how it was going to be. We'll talk about that as well. We had a surprise retirement come out this morning in the NFL, but we got to start with last night, Sean. Oh, and of course we have Chargers Chiefs tonight in Brazil. That's going to be a great game, a fun game. And I'm looking.
And I got a problem. It's Sags. Great to be with you here. I got a problem too, and we'll get to it with the timing of this game tonight and the location combined. Okay. I don't have a problem with either, but I have a problem with both combined now, and I'll tell you okay. why when we get into it.
So. Yeah, and that's something I had written down that a certain someone else was talking about as well that I wanted.
Yeah, to I saw that. I saw the same thing as well. I thought about it yesterday, and then I saw it. I said, "Yeah, I need to talk about that because somebody else was bothered like I am by it."
Yes, yes, and I like that topic. But last night, Eagles get the win, 24-20. We had an hour plus lightning delay. We had an ejection in 6 seconds. We had drops galore by one team. And then a defense of the Cowboys struggled. But, Sean, we have to start 6 seconds into the game. And now we've seen some video today of Dak looking towards the Eagles and spitting towards them. Now, it doesn't seem like it got on anybody. And then him and Jalen Carter were kind of face-to-face talking. And then Jalen Carter spits right on his kind of lower neck, chest area. I saw it and I was just like, my first thought to Jalen Carter was, fuck you, that's disgusting. Basically, like, that's one of the most vile
you're
things.
You're a frigging coward and a pussy.
To a
yes,
human.
You're a
yes.
bitch, right?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
He's the best football. He might have been, hell, you could make the argument he's as good a football player there is on the field, right? Segs, offense, Steve, doesn't matter. So I'm with you, Segs. Listen, when you say that, you're like, well, yeah, say it to his face. We're not fighting like seventh graders in the right. schoolyard. But if it was, he walked in and took it. If you, I'd say it was Bush League and cowardice, and it's trashy. And the worst thing you can do aside from steal from a teammate, sorry, I'm just trying to turn my volume up on this thing.
Yeah, you're good.
Aside from steal from a teammate is spit on him or an opposing person, right? It just – to me, I mean, I'd just soon you come up and punch me right in my face and then we'll square up and go hockey style and say, get it. And then we'll have a beer after if you're going to be that kind of, but spitting in my, see that crosses the line of, I don't need to respect you anymore. No matter how good player you are.
Exactly.
Now, obviously we saw the Dak. Here's the way I interpret this. And I don't have a skin in the game as far as I like Dak more than Jalen Carter. It had nothing to do with it. I don't really give a shit about all the rest of it, except what would happen between the lines last night. And it's such a Bush League, not only just bad optics, it's just a character flaw. It just is, man. I don't care what anybody says. If you got the balls to spit in somebody's face, then you might as well say, dude, I'll see you after and let's go fight. Because in any walk of stage, you can do a lot to me. And I'm not talking about me fighting Jalen Carter. But if I'm sitting there at a restaurant with you and a dude walks up and spits on my chest, there is no more conversation.
No. No.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll suffer the consequences if a cop comes to the restaurant. And he may be bigger. He may be a 7-degree black belt. I'm getting mine in immediately. I can just tell you that now. And if it's somebody who's got the balls to do it, he better be able to spit and back it up. Because normally guys like that, I'm not saying Jalen Carter, there's a weakness to their game. That's why they spit. And I'm not talking about football game. I'm talking about their life game. But to me, listen, man, you cross the line of it. Here's the way I interpret it now that I've seen Prescott. If you say they weren't up face to face like they were when Jalen Carter did it, Prescott looked to me like he, you know, first of all, and I'm not saying this was Dak Prescott. Guys spit all the time in football yes. through their helmet. Okay.
For sure.
But when I saw Prescott's look, the huddles were not far apart. Jalen Carter wasn't as close as he was when Prescott right. spit. What happened was there was a distance between him. He was standing by his lineman. He looked over there and spit down, and while he was coming at his spit was more into the ground. Watch his head
yes.
tilt. It's going to go into the ground, and then he's going to come out. Look at his smirk. That's like, it felt like, you know, when you're with your buddies and you say, spit down and say, let's go get it on like a hot
yeah,
two of them,
right?
You
exactly.
Know, yeah. You spit down and come back up and look, and he smirked. There's no doubt it was an antagonization in my mind. There's no doubt. And so if you want to hit him with a $25,000 fine or whatever, saying, dude, you were part of this. You encourage it. Yet that's like saying, hey, man, I'm going to go drive my car over a bridge just for fun. I'm going to jump like Evel Knievel. You want to come along? Oh, sure. Why not? I can't.
I'm dumb too.
You're right. This is, you know, you don't have to, meaning just because I do it doesn't mean you got to do it. Right. Say, I mean, if I, and just because I spit down doesn't mean you get the right to come over and walk and spit on my chest. To me, this is apples to oranges. One instigated it. We always say, well, in every sport, Segs, doesn't the second foul, the second guy gets the punishment. So they saw it and got it. So they didn't see that. The second guy, we see it all the time. He got fouled, the guy retaliates, the second guy gets ejected. This guy, a penalty, guy comes back and pushes him from behind in a game, in a football game. Mm-hmm. Guy pushes him from behind, gets a penalty. It's ignorance all the way around. So I do think that Dak Prescott gave the old, and on his way up, and then Carter started walking, he's smirking at him, and I think they were going back, and then he spits on his chest. To me, they're two different. One, he looked in the guy's eye, got close to him, up in his grill, and spit on his chest. Another thing I don't understand is why the Cowboys' offensive line didn't all of a sudden you don't want to get kicked out. Why they didn't jump to his defense and get in front and say, bitch, get out of the huddle, man. This isn't for you. And you spit on him and at least go after him and grab him by the jersey without throwing blows and hurting your hand or getting kicked out. I didn't understand to just sit there and take it and let it. I mean, who lets a teammate get spit on and you're just like that pain, unless they weren't paying attention. I don't buy it, because when a guy comes walking over, you defend that huddle. You just 100%. Do. And even when Dak spit on the ground, Jalen Carter should not have walked over there, because then you know there's trouble. So I do believe Dak instigated. If you want to give him a fine, okay. People who say there should be an 8-game fine for Jalen Carter, just stop it. Yeah, just friggin' stop it. Now, it's something that you never live down, Segs. I'm just telling you, you don't. You never live down that. There are certain things as a player you just don't live down. And you know what that is? Spitting on an opponent. You just don't, because now everybody looks at you like, oh, you're that guy. It's, you'll always be known. They'll say, great player, but man, oh yeah, he also spit on him. That, even if he wins defensive MVP 3 years, you're never going to forget he spit on an opponent's chest, upper chest, right in that area, right? And looked right in his eye and did it. And it wasn't even in the heat of battle. That's even worse. That's like walking into your house while you're eating dinner, him taking your food off your plate, grabbing your wife and walking out, and also putting his food back in the microwave and say, man, you have this ready when I get home. That's what that's like. Talking to the guy, not the girl, right?
Right.
Taking her. So he does that. So them's fighting words, as we say. Carter should be suspended. 4 games, stop it. You know, give him a game, hit him with a fine. Say, listen, retaliation or not, because Dak spit down and antagonized you, you still can't do it. Hell, we're to the point now where you can't even stand over a guy and flex. I mean, we've taken those rules.
Yeah, we saw it last night.
You saw it, Segs. And so it's going haywire with all that stuff. And they're stopping all that. But also, Jalen Carter, come on, man. If you're dumb enough to spit, you know, if you're not thinking straight enough and you can't control your emotions, there's an official standing there. Hell, at least wait till you're down in a pile if you're going to do it and try to hide it. I mean, it's like he wanted to get kicked out. First thing I thought was, damn, Jalen's got the Cowboys in the spread, man. He needs to get out of there so the Cowboys don't get their ass kicked. I'm joking, but you get my point. That's how blatant this was. So do not compare the two. One didn't spit in one's face and one spit back, because if it did, then Dak Prescott would be the problem. Spits down and you know he's smiling. Now the linemen turn in front of him like, right here, why are they letting this happen?
Right.
You can't do that. And Dak, you know, so while both were at fault, there's no doubt the more blatant part of this was Jalen Carter, and he did it right in his kitchen and right in his face. Suspend him for a game, move on, find Dak Prescott, and let's get on with it. But Jalen Carter's got to be better than that, because it did affect the Eagle defense completely. It's a selfish move. You do not want to do that. They need him. This is one of the best defensive players on the planet. He's got to be smarter than doing that. Because I'm telling you, if that's Buffalo, Philadelphia's got a loss. Hell, Dallas almost took him to the brink and beat him anyway. Yeah. In a 4-point game, they did take him to the brink. And without it not be for a couple drop balls, we may be having a different conversation today. And I didn't think we would. On the good side of that, Sigs, I was impressed with the Cowboys. Line played pretty good. They ran the ball more effectively than I thought. They're going to score points this year, Sigs. But the problem is they're going to be like USC, like I've talked about. They're going to score, but they're going to give up point after point after point like my Trojans have in the past. Let's hope that changes.
Yeah, I just look at, you know, Jalen Carter real fast back to him. Character concern. We saw this guy was arguably the best player in his draft year. Arguably could have went number one.
Would have, I think, Sags. Yes, would have.
Fell to number 10 with the, or no, to nine. The Eagles traded up with the Bears to move back one spot, and they get Jalen Carter, and the concerns were about his character. And this just puts everything into, you know, we remember, let's talk about Sue when he was coming out of Nebraska. There was talk that he was a dirty player. And then remember, early in his career, he had some dirty plays. And
he was a great player, but he was still dirty a lot of times.
Exactly.
It validated.
Albert Haynesworth is another guy I look at. Dirty, just bad character concerns. And Jalen Carter falls right into the same category where you cannot spit on somebody. So, yeah, it was just a terrible incident to kick off the NFL season.
No doubt. And Sags, and I mean, Tirico and Collinsworth were beside themselves. So like, what? Yeah. We all were. I was baffled by it, right? Doing? Yeah, I was baffled by it. And you're so right about Jalen Carter. And kudos to Howie Roseman for seeing it through and saying, you know, we're still taking this guy because we can, you feel like you can adjust some character flaws or some problems, right? He's had it. And I've always said this, even if you thought that you couldn't adjust it, he was worth dealing with the headache because he was such a good football player, right?
Here,
big time.
Here's the difference, though, and here's where it's going to really be seen this year. First year, obviously they haven't had Fletcher Cox. Brandon Graham retires. They're the youngest defense in the league, or one of the youngest defenses in the league. We saw the stat last night. I think their average age is like 24.9. So they're a very young defense. Is there somebody on that defense that can step up to Jalen Carter and say, knock your shit off, because this shit ain't going to fly with us? I don't know that they have that on that defense. Maybe a Lane Johnson.
It's Lane Johnson. It's not a defensive guy. Yes.
Yes.
And you know what? It might be a Georgia. It might be a couple of his Georgia teammates that also start on that defense, right?
Yes.
You know, whether it's
Jordan Davis.
Kobe Dean or Jordan Davis. It might be that group, because I don't think there's one that goes up on defense. Now, if it was Fletcher Cox,
Brandon Graham, they would have taken care of it.
Yeah. Jalen Carter would have already been talked to.
Yes.
It would already been dealt with by those guys and taken care of and said, not again, because it becomes a selfish thing. Even if you want to be a turd at times, you make sure you got 10 other guys and 52 other cats and a coaching staff, and we got a Super Bowl on the line. Well, there's no doubt who it is. It's either the group of Georgia guys putting their arm around saying, dude, come on, man, you're better than this. Or it's also Lane Johnson on the other side saying, putting his arm around him, but grabbing him a little firmer and saying, dude, you may be young, but that's not how we're doing things around here, right?
We know how Lane Johnson will handle that. So that will
one
be,
makes you grab by one's the a kick the in the ass and one's a hug, right? And one's a – and that's okay.
Yes.
And that's okay. So – but with them to see that, they it's going to have to be taken care of because they are – I don't think defensively they can be a Super Bowl team without him there. I mean, it's the equivalent, and I'm not comparing him, but if you took Aaron Donald out early in his career, who was learning, you know what I'm saying? Just the presence alone, using up two, and he can still get penetration. He's a tough test. The bottom line is, listen, I'm not going to go on. I thought it was weak. It bothered me. I thought it was stupid timing and low IQ football. He's got to be smarter than that. And just there's got to be a point thing. There's certain – you just don't cross the line. If I leave my locker open at work, Sags, and there's $1,000 in the locker and a wallet open and stuff that's your own, you don't walk by as a teammate and take the money. You walk by as a teammate and shut the locker door for him.
Yes.
That's what you do. And it's the same thing here. No matter how pissed you are and no matter how mad you are at Dak Prescott or the rivalry, if you wanted to go up and punch Dak in his face mask because you thought he spit at you and he spit at the ground, then have at it, dude. Yeah. I'll just call it emotion and get in it. And Kenny, I'm with you, man. I've tried to guard against this, take the penalty in sports, fight on the street. I'm a correctional officer. I'm fighting. Kenny, I was on my show this morning, my local show here in Houston. I said the same thing. I said, listen, you can do a lot. I can be patient and try to be the take the high road. But where it all ends and I see red and it's done, regardless, like I said, of the size of the guy. And, well, Sean, you're at a disadvantage. Oh, well, I'm no pussy. I may be at the side, but if I'm going down, I'm going down, getting a couple in. And I'm with him. There's fighting. Yet good on Prescott that he didn't retaliate and get two guys kicked out, because now you're screwed. Even though no matter who got kicked out of the Cowboys, Sans Prescott, did the impact was far deeper felt for Philadelphia than it would have been felt for the Cowboys, unless it was the quarterback. Because the lineman for a lineman, Cowboys win that because Carter's like having two players get kicked out of the game. But you just can't. I'm trying not to make too big of a deal of it, but it is a big deal on the character flaw sakes. It bothers me. And it became a big deal for Philly. And I'm sure Sirianni trying to say, listen, dude, I understand your fire in your belly, but we can't do it. And you also can't go to him and say, oh, just because Dak did this, that you're okay to do this. Now, retaliation when it comes to spit ain't it. Kenny's right. You take him out and you say, I'll see you after the game if you want to throw down or have a conversation. I don't know who's whooping whose ass, but we'll take this to the streets. And I know that sounds archaic, but it's true. You just if you did that to a wife or a wife did that to you, if your wife did that to you, Segs, are you not divorcing her? I'm not saying you're done because it's the ultimate sign of I crossed the respect line. I have zero for you. So I don't know why we get guys that continue that we see every year at some point or every other year, somebody does it. Then they can't control it. If you don't want to control your emotions and you're a turd because you punch somebody after the whistle, happens all day long. But there's just something about that's so dirty and vile to me about spitting on somebody. And that's the end of the conversation. In order to get respect back, I don't think I'm ever giving it back to you if I'm the guy who got spit on.
Yeah, and real quick before we finally get to the game, actual game on the field, it feels like, because last night we saw Nolan Smith, another Georgia player on that defense, hit somebody. I don't even know if it was Saquon or who it was. And he gets up and kind of flexes over him and is yelling something at him.
It wasn't even a bad flex either, Sex. Right, it wasn't even a bad flex, right?
Yes, but here's where I'm going with kind of the character stuff we're seeing more and more and more, that this is what these kids are doing in Pop Warner. I mean, if you go on TikTok or Twitter or anywhere and you just search up Pop Warner football or youth football, I mean, these kids are saying the same shit that the NFL players are saying. I mean, cuss words, everything. And they're 8, 9, 10 years old. I mean, it's insane. I mean, my boys are 10 years old. They're twins and they're playing football right now. And they come to me and say, like, man, Dad, you should hear some of the stuff these kids are saying. I'm just like,
no discipline, no respect for the coach.
Coaches, I think, are part of it.
A big part of it. They allow it to happen on the practice field. Yes. And Segs, your point's so valid. And here's and you watch these video clips. And here's what happens. If you're the coach who says, no, we don't do that here, if you're one of those coaches who's doing it right, we're going to learn it right. Whether we get our ass kicked or not, we're going to celebrate properly. And the dad will come out of the stands and want to fight the coach. For telling his kid he can't celebrate. It's like, enough. Parents ruin everything in Little League sports, baseball, 100%. Football. Not all parents, but when it gets ruined, it's not. The kid learned it somewhere. Okay, the kid learned it somewhere. Exactly. And so all the nonsense, but you're right, Segs, stop it. It's like everything else. It didn't start at the top and filter down. It usually starts at a young – I'm talking about an older age filter down. Mm-hmm. Now, the older age people had to handle themselves a little more like grown adults in the room. Yes. Don't. But it's the – small, and with, you know, the celebration where you're taunting coming out of the locker room instead of playing and celebrating the right way. Listen, we're in a cross between, and it starts, Segs, I see it with helicopter parents and that I'm coaching an eighth grader or the one. And then most of the time they're great, but you'll get the ones now and again that their kid's never done wrong. And disciplining your kid as a coach is a sin to them, and they'd rather fight you about it because you're trying to teach them to do it the right way. Well, it does start exactly where you're talking about, and that's where it starts, and that's the only place it's going to stop. But you get to the NFL level. We're at a cross now between – because I didn't think what Nolan Smith did should have been penalized, but under the new rules, they're watched so close. Because it wasn't even a standover. It was like he was just looking around like flexing. Kind of
walking towards them, but looking up.
And right. And I went back and I looked at it a second time when the game tape. I said, so this is – we're doing this. We're penalizing this now. So for me, we're at a cross between – over extreme, stop the no fun league. These guys can celebrate a touchdown. Yet you go into the touchdown or the turnover, and all the guys did it at the end zone, Philadelphia, and they did the old quarterback sneak celebration, right?
Yeah.
For the defense, and you don't get a flag for that, right? So they're somewhere in between no fun league, like enough to where the other extreme, and we're getting a lot of it in the league. You're celebrating a 5-yard hitch catch with a celebration and a point and a stand. We do it too often, right? Now that you look at it there, that looks – now, see, that one looked even more blatant than the tail one I saw, because then he walked over to him, stared down at him. I get it, considering the new rules, but
right,
we got to find the happy medium, because we're going overboard on some celebrations that they're not penalizing, and then we go, well, we let kind of things go on celebrations the other way. We got to find the no-fun league where we're taking everything away from these guys. It's an emotional game. We got to find the happy medium where you got to know the room and know the intent on the celebration, in my opinion.
Yeah, and one last thing about Jalen Carter. If he is suspended a game, that game next week is at Arrowhead against the Chiefs. I mean, it's just something
Super Bowl that rematch. You can't
do.
Well, and now you have he to, may though, have to right? miss it. Yeah, and you have to. So you can't send the message, well, we'll suspend him in game. We'll suspend him in game three because the NFL wants Jalen Carter on the field for the rematch. No, you've got to hit it hard. You do, and I do. There's been baseball players that have spit. We've seen the movie. Remember before.
Robbie Alomar. Robbie Alomar was the guy who spit in the umpire's face.
Good call, Oldman. You're exactly right, Sigs. Yep. It was him. And baseball made a huge deal. And to this day, there are people that still, when his name comes up, say, one of the best second basemen of all time, great player. Oh, yeah. Remember when he spit on an umpire? I've seen that before.
Yes, and don't he was another guy with some character stuff. But, all right, let's finally get to the game. You mentioned it. The Cowboys were impressive. Yes, their defense was not early on up to the rain delay. They were not stopping the Eagles at all. And it wasn't like the Eagles were going crazy with big plays or anything. It was just they were just kind of death by a thousand cuts. You know, Jalen would run the ball, pick up 8 yards a first down, hit, you know, Goddard for a few yards. The running backs were used well. Were you surprised that, and I have it right here, Devontae had 3 catches for 16 yards and AJ Brown 1 catch for 8 yards in those 4 targets. That's all they got. They didn't get any other targets. So they caught all 4, but they only got 4 between the 2 best offensive players on their team, not named Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. Sags, I was thinking about that earlier. When they got around halftime and they had 1 catch or so between them, whatever it was. Right. And I'm sitting there, okay, when is this going to happen? And then I think, okay, is Jalen coming off him too quick? And he wasn't. He just avoided penetration and made throws. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it happens. You know what it tells me? I'm going to go back. I taped the game. I'll go back and watch it later today because I want to see, you know, replays of just coverage, because I thought there was some great coverage on the edges that prevented the ball coming out on time, which then a pocket would break down. And there was a little more push early on in the game than I expected from the Cowboys, in truth. Now, they let Jalen break contain or let him move around, which is a problem. But then who does it? And can we stop, as I said yesterday, can we stop the friggin' narrative that Jalen Hurts is just a guy as a player? He's not. The ball, 19-23 or something last night? The ball didn't hit
19-23 didn't have the big for 152 yards, so they weren't going deep. But again,
but his feet got him another 60 or 70 yards, whatever it was, and he first down. No doubt about it. I'll tell you this, for me, Isaiah, on the show, being a wideout for Hurts will not give you stats or Ring of Honor accolades. You know what? That's okay. It got them both a touchdown pass. JB and I probably, that Jalen Hurts may not be the guy that elevates the 5,000-yard season. We agree on that. But I think we underrate Jalen Hurts' skill set. And he's you're not getting Marino with Jalen Hurts. But guess what? With Jalen Hurts, you get something that other guys can't give you. It's the ability to sing plays and I extend plays. And for me, in an NFL thing, I'm not really worried. Stats matter. But the key stat that matters to me is, when do you make first downs? When do you – how do you play on third down? How do you play in the red zone? How do you play late in the game? And how do you play when things break down? Do you throw the ball to the other team? Do you turn it over? Do you take sacks or do you make something happen? Jalen Hurts is a top-flight quarterback in this league. He's not a top-flight elite thrower of the football, but he is an efficient passer enough for me to win. And last year in the Super Bowl, he proved that he can make plays when necessary. If you're asking him to load up and throw it 40 times a game and you're going to beat whenever – that's not him.
Right.
That's not who he is. But that doesn't define great quarterbacks. You want me to go through the quarterbacks who put up numbers that none of us would consider elite? We would just consider stat machines. That's it. So I'll take Jalen Hurts on my team any day of the friggin' week. Any day of the week. But it's just he's not going to make you look great all the time and force balls into coverage that just to get guys catches, touches, and stats. He's just not.
In a year last year where Saquon had over 2,000 yards rushing, I mean, A.J. Brown still had over 1,000 yards. Devonta Smith had over 800 yards. So it's not like they're you know, each getting 500 yards is these tremendous wide receivers. No, they're still putting up numbers. Yeah, maybe in a different offense they put up more, but
well, then that would take away Barkley's stuff too, right, Stegs? The effect of your team using him. Somebody's got to give up something because of the offensive weapons.
Just because the GM and the coach and the organization puts great players around you that you use in different ways doesn't take anything away from the quarterback being really freaking good, like Jalen Hurts.
You know, I mean, no doubt.
He ran for two touchdowns last night because they weren't open, and it was a lot of Matt Eberflus doing what Matt Eberflus does, sitting back in his zone and just kind of containing everything in front of him. And then they still weren't stopping the Eagles, the Cowboys, early on in that game.
Isn't that the sign of a really good decision maker, though? Eberflus play it soft, make you throw hitches and stuff underneath, take checkdowns, use your legs. And then when you do it, you beat them and take them at it. And I'm telling you what, the more it goes on, you play teams that are going to do them like that, they're going to destroy you like that. And eventually you're going to say, screw that and play man. And then we saw the Super Bowl, then Jalen Brown and not Jalen Brown, but AJ Brown. Jalen Brown can dunk a basketball too. AJ Brown and Devontae Smith are going to hit home runs. To me, the sign of a great quarterback is you can adjust. You don't need 350 yards to be efficient and make things happen. And he used his legs as a check down instead of forcing the ball right. So if a defense is going to put you in a position to throw underneath and be patient, to me, that's a sign of a guy, we'll take our shots when necessary. And so to answer your question, Isaiah, he'll be able to expand his game. I am not worried about that. I get more worried about the guy who won't throw the underneath stuff because he's impatient than I do. And I was a gunslinging chance taker. I believe me, I was. So I know that side of living on it. And I've always thought like that. But I admire a guy who says, okay, we can't. They drop back eight straight times. We'll check it down or I'll use my legs eight straight times. I assure you, if somebody wants to play press man, Devontae and A.J. Brown are going to get separation and he will make throws. He did it in the Super Bowl. He made some plays, but his decision making has become elite with the football. But if you're looking for Kirk Cousins, 4,800 yards or the big numbered things that you just put up because you're dropping back, ripping it 40 times, that is not his game. But if I got to do that 40 times a week, every week, I'm probably not winning much. Give me Jalen Hurts over a stat machine. And I know people want to get paid. Jalen Hurts in a Super Bowl ring tells me all I need to know. He's a good decision maker. And to me, he gets better every year. The Cowboys did surprise me with the way they played last night. The Eagles' defense is going to have to elevate, even with Jalen Carter. They're going to have to play it better. There was too many free open looks throwing the football last night. There really was. That with that secondary, but Jalen Carter getting pressure in a quarterback's face. But I the Dallas Cowboys are going to win more games than we think, as long as what I saw last night is a precursor to what we can see moving forward.
They can build off of that. Yes,
no doubt.
We talking about the Cowboys. Dak was, you know, I had him 21 of 34 for 188 yards. Didn't throw a touchdown. Didn't throw a pick. But he also had, I mean, five, maybe six throws that hit guys in the hands, including Ferguson in the end zone, where, yes, they did call the throw the flag on Blankenship for the hit. But, I mean, that's a ball that 2 years ago Jake Ferguson catches every single time. We saw CeeDee Lamb drop, I want to say, at least three. I mean, balls that one, he was literally
– And he took blame for that, Sakes. He said he's got to play better. Yeah.
And I mean, but that's the difference in the Cowboys being 1-0. Versus 0-1, because to beat the reigning Super Bowl champs in their building on ceremony night, on the opening night of the season, you can't have those mistakes, and that one game could come back to haunt them later in the season.
Think about what you said earlier. Who do they play next week?
The Cowboys?
Kansas City.
Oh.
Play Chiefs. Yeah. I know. The Philadelphia.
No, the Eagles play the Chiefs.
That's what I'm saying. The Philadelphia Eagles play the Chiefs. The reason why I'm saying is if the Cowboys were to beat them, you go there – without Jalen Carter, if he gets suspended, and they're coming off a trip to Brazil, which we'll get to, and they go, you go in there and you lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. Now you're 0-2, and everybody's like, what the hell's wrong? Well, nothing's wrong. We missed a few plays. Our star got in trouble on defense. We didn't create enough space in the game. And then it comes down. I hate it, Segs, if you're the favorite or you're supposed to win. What gets in trouble, you let a team that's the damn near a double-digit underdog hang around till the fourth quarter, and it's there within one score. Then it only takes a fluke play to beat you as opposed to you have to hammer it out for two straight quarters. So I thought the Cowboys were better, and Philadelphia is going to have to play better. And that you're that close to being, oh my gosh, we're in trouble. Now, with that, we're giving Dak credit for playing well and moving a little bit, but he had pedestrian passing numbers, but they would have been better. You're right. I need more from Ferguson this year, Segs, the tight end position this year. He's going to have to continue to expand his game, and Dak's going to have to use him. And you're right, the hospital ball to Ferguson. When you're staring the bender and you're staring him down, you're going to put yourself and your guys in trouble. But sometimes you do, and you put them in a bind, and they take monster hits. But both these quarterbacks made some good throws in tight windows and played smart football. But I assure you, CeeDee Lamb won't drop three balls, Segs.
Right.
And I'll give him a little break on the diving catch, but he expects to make it when he gets hands on it. That's the great ones do. I can assure you he won't drop three balls in the next nine games, more than likely. So, it was a part of the game, especially in the second half, where you got to fix that.
Yeah. Let me ask you one last question about this game. So we go into the lightning delay, third quarter. I think there's about 4 minutes left, if I remember correctly. 24-20. They come out, and how much does that hour? I think it was 65 minutes exactly from the announcement to when they snap the ball. How much does that affect you as a player that you just had your halftime? Now you come out, you play basically 10 minutes of football, and then boom, now we got to sit down for an hour. How much does that affect you? Because we did see zero scoring after the delay.
They left 24-20, came back 24-20. Yep. If you fell asleep, you know what you thought? The game got delayed till the next day because the score was the same. And especially the way they were scoring. And I'm thinking, okay, there's two more touchdowns in this damn thing.
You're right.
And once again, don't ever discount Vegas.
Never. They called in the lightning.
It goes on 43 and a half. Was the spread was the number?
Yeah, depending on where you looked. Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
Oh, 46, 47 and a half were the two I saw.
Okay. Took the under. Got it. At one point, I'm thinking to myself, the under's blown away, and I took the under. You know, when we took it yesterday, the under and the Eagles by a touchdown and a field goal, right? Whatever it was. And I'm thinking, you come out of this, I said, oh, they're going to blow that away, and I'll be damned. I don't know how they knew that the lightning strike was coming. It was going to disrupt the flow and the offensive flow. Bam, 44 points. So the point is, Vegas
sent a plane up in
the sky. They know what amateur bettors go. That's exactly right. Yeah, I'll tell you what's tough about it, Sage. All right, let me apply it to like a lot to do with mechanics. That let's apply it to two things. You and I is maybe one of our favorite sports, not named football. Maybe even our favorite sport is pitcher. Rain delay comes back. Do you ever bring him back out there after he's pitched an inning? Nope, his day starts done. Right, football you don't have that luxury, right? So, and I hate halftime. I've always hated it. Because when it's cold and you go into halftime, it's a false sense of security. When it's rainy and you go into halftime, you change your jersey, you come out, or if you leave it on, then you're miserable going out. I'm just talking about from my position.
Yeah.
When you're playing great, you go in there, you want the momentum to continue, like getting Gatorade on the sidelines of a high school game or a Pop Warner game where everybody's getting orange slices and you don't leave the field and you're ready to go in 5 minutes.
Right.
Then there's if you're getting your ass kicked, to go in there, you're miserable, you're sitting there and you more misery, and you're like, okay, is it going to be one of those? You start to question. Yeah, shit, you get screamed
at by coaches. Right. And
so to me, halftime, listen, the only thing good about halftime is when you're up 40 and you come back and you say, oh, man, this is going to be a fun second half.
Yeah.
Middle of the third, fourth quarter, you're planning on where you're getting pizza or a steak after the game. But and I'm being a bit facetious, but it sucks because remember, Segs, they went warm up. They waited all day in a night game. Then you're the anticipation. How many times can you get up on golf course, Segs? You and I are playing our best round of our life. Rain delay makes us go in and grab a beer. We're laughing and joking and bullshitting. We pick back up at the 14th hole, and what inevitably happens, you're loose, snap, hook the drive, and now you're pissed, double bogey. And then you say, what? Give me three more beers, right?
Yeah.
So in this case, it's get ready for it. And I know people say distractions, you got to overcome them. Yeah, but there comes a point in time when enough's enough. We had a delay at the beginning of the game. Because of what happened. Think about it. We had a delay on the spit. Halftime goes longer anyway when it's the first one in music. And then, bam, that's why sometimes it's sluggish in the Super Bowl at times coming out, too, because it's a 45-minute halftime. Then you go back in. You're getting rolling. You're getting stuff. And then a handful of minutes later, you got to go back in. And then you don't know. At least in the halftime, you know 15, 12 minutes, we're good to go. And this one, you're sitting there, do I get loose now? When do I get loose? And we go on the field. And it's not even just the getting loose, but it is a pain in the ass, especially for guys, those big linemen that got to go back in, or the speed guys at the hammies. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the feeling of, oh man, my emotional well-being. The man, we're up, down, up. It's like, shit, man, I don't want to be a Dow Joneser, because there's nothing worse than a Dow Joneser in the middle of a game, let right. alone the Dow Jones emotion you got to take before you even snap it, go back in, come back. It's tough. It doesn't surprise me. I actually even thought the defense would be further ahead than the offenses anyway, because yeah. the beginning of a season, they usually are in the execution part. But it does not surprise me now with all that layoffs, Segs, that they came back out and sputtered around and had trouble restart, and especially in a rival game. You're so jacked up. It's like, oh, gosh. Now I got to get back up for the fourth time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's hard to do. And you know, I understand Philadelphia won the game, but we are literally about four plays away from the outcome being different. Philly got away with one last night, but yep. they still played well enough to beat the Cowboys, because the first six or seven possessions by the two teams, they never punted. Right. They just score. So I like some things I saw, and obviously the things we talked about, they're going to have to get better, but the Cowboys should, I don't do moral victories, but when they watch the tape, they're going to like some of the things they yes. did. They really are. And CeeDee's going to be pissed at himself, and he'll play yep. better football. And then on the other side of it, Philly's going to like some things, but they're also going to say, Cowboys aren't supposed to move the ball that well with or without Jalen right. Carter on us. And we've got it. And they're going to come back and address the lack of huge plays on the perimeter.
Yeah.
But when in doubt, they played efficient enough and efficient to win football games. 7 weeks from now, nobody's going to say, hey, man, did you see that in game one, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith only had so many yards. They're going to say, oh, how'd that game turn out? Well, Jalen played really smart football, and the ball didn't hit the ground. He didn't throw it to the other team.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So the Eagles get the week one win over the Cowboys. All right, Sean, before we get to the Chargers and Chiefs tonight in Brazil, let's quick talk about this NFL red zone thing. And I look at this as NFL red zone, ESPN, the NFL, they ran a masterclass on trying to get people talking about something. Because, yes, Scott Hansen was in an interview, and he said, yes, there's going to be commercials this year. That's all he said. And people went nuts, and including me. Yep. Everybody was pissed. Everybody thought, and the way he said it, too, there's going to be commercial blocks like we see in games, like we see in TV shows, like we see all over the place, where it's 2, 3, 4 minutes of commercials. And then we come back, and now we may have missed stuff on Red Zone. Now we got to be watching old stuff trying to come back. No, then it comes out yesterday. This happened 2 days ago. Then it comes out yesterday that, oh, no, there's only 4 15-second ads throughout the 7 hours. And it is just a picture in picture. So side by side. So you will
just like you see on golf now, you're seeing the guy hit yes. the shot while they're doing their progressive commercial, right?
Yes.
Or their
yes.
tailor-made commercial.
We just won't hear Scott Hansen over those right. over those ads. We'll still see games, whatever they want to put up on Red Zone, and then the ad will be playing on the side. So I think in the end, great job, NFL, ESPN, whoever was behind it, getting us talking about Red Zone heading into week one. Because now everybody's going to be like, oh, well, let me just turn on Red Zone to see like if a commercial pops up and all this kind of stuff.
What's I mean, great job by them. Missed that, right?
Yeah. Yes, yes. I mean, we've already seen all the memes of Scott Hansen talking, and there's like a big play
and a Burger King commercial.
Yeah. 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 The Whopper pops up, or right. Flo the progressive lady pops up.
Like, exactly.
Like, yeah, great job by them, I think, because at first, yeah, I was pissed too. I'm not a big consumer of Red Zone. I like watching games, and if I like to come back and watch other games later. And I like to feel the flow of a game, whereas in Red Zone, you're just getting the big plays, or somebody's in the red zone. You don't know how they got there, that kind of stuff. So I'm not a huge red zone guy, but it was still annoying because I know how big it is and how people love it, that commercial blocks would have ruined it.
Oh, yeah. Especially a lot if it was treated like a regular NFL game.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And the picture in picture is wise, because you're not going away permanently, because when that game's on commercial, they switch to other games we're watching on Red Zone. Right.
Yes.
A couple things about this is, everybody, now you just relax. It's going to be fine. You can live with a total 1 minute of commercials, like you said.
Yeah.
4 of 15 seconders, and it's picture in picture. Going to be fine. Two is, and I would have understood, no seat at the table doing this. We had to know, while I didn't like it, if there was going to be a bunch of commercials, you also had to know it was coming. Yeah. It's the money. Just like I've said before, you're going to really hate it when they tell you your Super Bowl is being streamed and that's the only way you can watch it. You don't get the free one. You're going to, and it's not free anyway because you're watching on cable or on something anyway, and it's charging you monthly, right?
Right.
So this isn't a pat on the back or smart, because of my Sundays and Saturdays, you know, we've talked about, you've been to where I got a bar outside on my outdoor, yeah, where it's four big 75 inch. So I'm with you. I want to watch the full game, but some people just can't. You're at a bar, you're there. And when people say, well, watch it like a grown-up, I think I saw that on, I can't remember what broadcaster said, watch it. You're not a real football fan unless you watch full game. Well, some people don't have access to all the full games. They got one TV. And it's expensive enough to have six more boxes at your house. Fortunate in our career that I got to watch more, because you're talking local team, you're talking national. I want to see my team. I want to watch college football. And it's selfish. I'm willing to give up something else at my crib, you know, to spend money on bill in order to have all those TVs to watch what I want to watch. I'll sacrifice going on an extra day vacation because that is my Saturday and Sunday vacation and insight all year long, especially in the fall or during Major League Baseball. You know, I want to watch three or four games at the same time on the MLB package. I know what I'm getting when I'm paying for it. Okay, I get it. Whether people know what to sacrifice and what you want to pay for, but now we can calm down. Red Zone's still going to be there. Let Scott Hansen have 15 seconds to go pee, okay, if he possibly can. So four times. He does a great job. That's right, he does a great job. But now that they've squelched us, but it is brilliant. It almost feels like Roger Goodell and the owners got, hey, Jerry, called up the master markets, Jerry, what's the best way to do this? Well, I'll do what I do. Create a little controversy, have him tell everybody that there's going to be commercials, piss everybody off, draw attention to it, and guess what they're going to do on Sunday? That Red Zone is going to be just as popular as it ever was. And go, I keep Red Zone with all the TVs. I keep the extra TV Red Zones on that, but I'm still focused on the four TV segs that are the actual live games and replay. But if you all of a sudden went and grabbed a beer and missed a touchdown, that's where if you're missing big plays, that's where to get them. If you want to dive deeper into the interior line player, then you're watching the regular game because you want to see how your right guard's doing against Jalen Carter when he's in the lineup. So now we can squelch that. It's going to be okay, folks. Everything's going to be fine.
Right. And why Red Zone is such a big deal is because how big fantasy football is. That
no doubt. Really,
fantasy they football.
They can track in your team and they're doing it.
Love that, because any touchdown that's scored, they show it. So you can see what your guys
are doing. When it comes to media moves, honestly, we could talk about broadcast hires that have been great for for TV games. Like, oh, that guy's a great hire. To me, the two biggest innovations hires over the last handful of years, it feels like it's Red Zone hadn't been going on that long, but with hell sakes, we got to be a decade plus into that right now, aren't we? Decade in? Sure. Something like that. It has to be, right? But it feels like, oh, we just started 5 years ago, but it's been a lot longer than that. Is the original hire of Mike Pereira, what we've done to get officials and go to New York and come in, and Pereira, and now I know we brought in all the other guys with it, but Mike Pereira is the original, and he was brilliant at it and still is. That was a great ad to broadcast. Don't you? When Fox hired Mike Pereira and had him do that, I'm like, perfect. And now they've expanded to all the games, college, NFL, and it's a great thing. And this, Red Zone, the technology to allow you for fantasy, they've kind of tied it in to where you're just getting constant from the time you wake up in the morning and the first game goes, if you're on the West Coast at 10 o'clock, all the way through till Sunday night football is done. Sunday night, you're standalone because it's one, but when all those games are there, the truth is, Segs, and I don't think we have it, but we need it. And I don't know how you do it because of all of it is power. One of these big power conferences, we need to instill it for the – maybe you're red zoning the top 10 games of the day. You really need that for college football. Yeah. And there's no way it's not coming. Because there are games, even with the TV, Segs, I'm watching, you'll get like four Big Ten games in 1 week that are really good, or five SEC games, and you're like, damn. Vanderbilt's playing Tennessee, although for some it may not be a big deal. Vanderbilt's got a good quarterback, but it's not on my main thing. I'd like to see some of the big plays without having to wait for a halftime highlight or a break-in. So a break-in to the highlights, so you say, oh, and Vanderbilt, boom, he threw a touchdown. So for me, the college one's got to come. I don't know if it's how you do it regionally or nationally, but you take the top 10 games of the week and put them on the red zone where you're flowing them. I think that's the next stage. And I think it'd be really cool for those of us who want to watch certain parts of the country and love all kinds of football, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter. I think that's another step, but we're good to move forward. Red Zone's going to be fine and up and running and well, and they're going to get paid for it. I guarantee people are going to pay a pretty penny for even a 15-second spot on those commercials. You know,
yeah, the this is, I believe, the 16th year of NFL Red Zone.
16. There you go. I figured it was a decade and a half, almost two decades.
2009. So September 2009 when we started.
That's exactly right.
With Red Zone.
And it's been brilliant ever since. It really has. They've done a great job.
Real quick before, again, we get to the Chiefs and Chargers.
Hey, while you're thinking about that one, Amari Cooper, let me just get to my guys at Flash Funding. Okay, yes. It's working capital in a flash is what Flash Funding is. I'm grateful to be a partner. I'm a client as well. I am a customer for Flash Funding. And I for my business and elevating, and it had six figures for me that I needed. Bam, you know, when they're going out there and you need to have somebody purchase because your receivables, it's like, I'm waiting. Boom. Let's get it to Flash Funding. Flash Funding gets you the cash, bam, and they collect and buy your receivables. Here's what it is. Flash Funding is a family-owned and operated company led by experiencing factoring professionals, and that's exactly what this is. Turning invoices into working capital. Listen, your company doesn't want to wait 30 to 60 or 90 days to be paid for services you've already provided. You provide them, now you're sitting waiting, and they're in no hurry. Come on, man, I'd like to get paid. Well, that invoice, well, how about this? They provide funding, just Flash Funding, for your business by purchasing accounts receivable, turning those invoices that may be paid sometime in the future into fast cash today. Flash Funding provides factoring services for companies anywhere in the United States, helping you maintain that cash flow by giving you immediate payment for those invoices, which is nice. And that cash flow is what keeps that business rolling, right? Factoring gives business owners financial security, giving you the freedom to expand, meeting payroll, and exploring new opportunities. Growth, cash on hand, growth. Not what I'm waiting 90 days for that cash to come in so I can expand mine. No, Flash Funding wants to eliminate that for you. They'll take care of the accounts receivable and get you cash fast. Apply with them. They're going to review your customer credit. It's a four-step process. Buy your invoices and transfer your funds directly to you. And you know how long it took me? About 4 days to get it, which enabled me to get it up going quicker and get the stuff I needed done now. Bam, instead of waiting 90, 120, 150 days. It's Flash Funding, flash-funding.com. You see it there. It's Flash Funding. It is working capital in a flash. So if it's a pain in the ass for you to collect those accounts receivable, get on with Flash Funding. Go to flash-funding.com. You can let them know I sent you. Either way, get in there. It will help you get cash quicker and allow them to take on the responsibility of purchasing those accounting receivables that are a pain in the ass. flash-funding.com. All right, Sigs, before we get to the Kansas City Charger game, what else was on your mind, my man?
Amari Cooper announced his retirement this morning after 10 years with the Raiders, Cowboys, Browns, and Bills. Five-time Pro Bowler, over 700 receptions, over 10,000 yards, 64 career touchdowns. Just give me quick thoughts on Amari Cooper retiring. I thought he still had some good football left in him.
Agreed.
Maybe he just thought it was time to step away.
Yeah, agreed. And Sags, the one thing when I always hear people say, well, why retire now? Or you should retire. You know, they'll tell people you're past your time, retire. Or they say, why are you retiring? Listen, think about it in our own lives. Somebody comes to us right now and says, hey, man, quit broadcasting. Now, some may want us to quit. Some may want us to stay around forever. But if somebody comes to you and tells you to do what you've been doing your whole life to retire, well, you know, if you get an injury or something, how many people told after what he went through, Hamlin, a couple of years ago?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and for his resilience to come back and hell, be fighting, dying on the field and actually losing, you know, the pulse and then to come back and now be playing. It's a story that's one of the great stories in NFL history to be able to do that. But how many people do you think, Sags, you read it on social media? How many people told DeMar Hamlin to retire? 90% of them. And making the decision for him, right? And I'm not comparing Cooper to Hamlin. My point is that it's
like Tua.
It's hard to tell, right, the same way. Oh, he's got to go. He wants to be with his kids. Well, guess who's making that decision? If you're pronounced fit and healthy, it's hard to walk away when somebody's telling you you still can go play. So we never know who's walking in what. I thought the timing was curious. When he went up and the Raiders got him back. Yeah. Listen, he's had a really good career. He's not a Hall of Famer. He's had a really good career with those Pro Bowls and a lot of catches. He's not a Hall of Famer. And I thought also that he'd be good as a second or third guy to help out, right, Segs? And going to a Raiders team that's got a really good quarterback who's accurate, yep. I thought they could have expanded their game, and yeah, he could have. So at some point we'll know the exact reason, but Segs, I know this. When you know the other side of when people telling you when or you shouldn't retire, you know when you know deep down when it's time. Yep. I asked Chipper Jones in baseball when it was time. He came to the plate one day, went up there and play and was going to play more. Played one day, came back the next, looked at his wife and said, this was when he was like, what, 40 at the end of his career, yeah. Later in his career. He said, I wanted to know when he knew. He said the next day after a game, he goes, I felt great going into the season. I was in as good a shape as I'd been in. The recovery time, after one, he came in the next day, told me, he goes, I can't do this anymore. And so, you know, played football. I knew when I was, and I haven't had the same career he did, but I know the day it hit me, and I know where I was when it did, when I said, you know what, this is work now. Yeah. As opposed, you know what I'm saying? And maybe Amari just woke up and said, I don't love it. Maybe there's a nagging injury. Maybe there was something happened in his life, because it was curious, because it felt like he was pumped to go there and everybody was pumped. And then just before the season starts, you say, I'm not into it. Now, whether that's Segs, it's usually the off season has a guy's trouble. It's all that grind as you get older to have to be ready and in shape. Once you get to the season, that's like the bonus. You're getting paid. You're with the fellas. So whether it's an injury, whether it's just flat out Segs after 10 years, you've had it. You don't want to do it anymore. Or maybe somebody popped in and said, man, I got a great gig for you. It's something you'd want, another side business. I don't know, but I know this. He retired and he deserves the right, no matter when he announced retirement. If he's not into it, he's got to go. Now, some of us would say, like this hand, remember when Andrew Luck retired at training camp, mm-hmm. Segs, remember? Yep. It's like, wait a minute. Why didn't you tell us soon? Because you don't know. You're thinking about it, and all of a sudden you wake up one morning, and it really literally is a Mike Tyson right to the face. Right. You're like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. So you don't do it anymore. Some do it longer than, and if they can milk four extra years, Amari Cooper didn't want to milk three or four more years out of his career. That's okay. And Segs, he might wake up in September at the end of the month and say, you know what? I miss it. I'm in shape. I want to go play, and maybe they'll sign him again. I never, when a guy retires the first time, Segs, in sports, I never think they're retired the first time, because I always think that the bug's going to hit him. At some point, he's going to want to play. Right. Now, if he can resist that. So no problem there. It's just that's my Raiders, and I wanted him. So for selfish reasons, I'm like, damn, now? But the truth of the matter, he was probably not going to be the number one, Segs. We know that. But it gives you added depth. I don't have a problem with it. Just the timing was curious, which makes me think, is there an injury that's bothering him that he's nervous about? Does he feel like he's not going to be able to perform at the level? Does he just not want to play anymore because, well, he's got other interests, just like all the rest of us do when we decide to move on from whatever it is we move on from?
Yeah. Interesting decision, but congrats to him on retirement and had a fabulous career. So,
yeah, Segs, do you think he would have made that? Let's say that we found out he was a Raider in May.
Yeah.
Is he playing? Would he announce it then? Or would he have waited and then we would have got the same thing? That's what I'm saying.
Would he have said it
in June? You think so?
I think he just went through training camp and you know, because a lot of times when they go through training camp, it's kind of just like, I just can't do a whole nother season. Like, Segs, I just can't do 17 games.
Let me tell you what every football player has done in their life. Yeah. And you're exactly right. That's what I'm saying. Point. Is you're excited in the offseason, you feel like you're good, getting paid, it's Raiders, I'm back to where I, you know, all that's going through your mind. And like every team I've ever been on, and I play quarterback, dude. I ain't the fullback DJ Tate. You know, Bruce Johnson take it on the middle linebacker when in practice you beat the shit out of each other.
Right.
Don't touch the quarterback. Good. Oh, my arm's tired. Hey, pussy, don't you tell me your arm's tired. You never complain to guys on your team about, I'm tired as a quarterback. Well, but you do know it's just for the quarterback, which is tougher on the quarterback than anybody else. It's the emotional mental grind of all the formations and plays and 11 on 11. And everything's moving. And especially as a young player, it's overwhelming, right? Every year of my career and every year, every guy that I've ever talked to, they go, and I love training camp. Hell, when you have Jimmy McMahon on your team, you fall in love with training camp because Mac makes it fun, whether you want to have fun or not. So you wake about the third or fourth day of training camp, that morning wake-up call, after your third straight two-a-day, you're like, I can get up right now for a morning practice because I'm going to quit after practice. I'm quitting. You're like the third year. I'm just quitting. I'm done. It's okay. I'm going to go sell insurance. I'm going to go get a broadcasting job. I'm going to go be a salesman. I'm going to go start a company. And then at the end of practice, good morning practice. You go to lunch with the fellas and they're making you laugh. And guess what you do? You take your ass back to afternoon practice. Right? And then by the time it's done, then they tell you at 10 years, 12 years in, hey, dude, probably time. You're like, no, yeah. No, yeah. I quit 47 other times. Don't make me quit now. I'm trying to hang on for more checks right. and a chance to win. Yeah. But that's the way it works, man. So I never, two things I don't do. I ain't question a guy about his wallet.
Right.
You got to get your bag, go get it. And I'm not questioning a guy about why he decide to play more when he's hurt or play less because he just doesn't want to when we all think he should be playing more. Think about this, Eggs. How many, I mean, when talking about, I tell people this all the time, although you don't wish it on anybody, it's much easier to retire when the medical staff won't let you play. You know why? When they make the decision for you, not because you're overly hurt, but when they, right, where they say, dude, we're not passing you on a physical, and neither is any other of the 31 teams. Your neck, you know, it happened like Sterling Sharp with Sterling. Yeah. And God bless my man Sterling for getting in the Hall of Fame. He deserved it. If we're going to judge guys on they were dominant in short periods of time, like Gale Sayers, like Terrell Davis, Sterling Sharp may have left the NFL had he had played healthy his whole career and played 14, 15 years. He may have left with the all-time leading catches because, remember, he was even more possession than Jerry and those guys. He was like Chris Carter, but bigger, a big, thick body too, right? And Sterling was so – people don't realize the generation missed how good Sterling Sharp was as a frigging player. But saying what happens is you're told, right, like Aikman and Steve Young, you know, dude – You can't play. Right. Because what you always think, the great Jerry Rice, probably a year or two too long. You know, when he finished up with the Raiders, he was their third or fourth receiver, that career. But trying to tell somebody who trains like he does, hey, you don't got it. Hell yeah, I got it. I watch myself run and train every day. I still got it.
Right.
But there comes a point in time when the mirror lies to us. That's why you need. So when it's medically, even though it sucks because you say what could have happened, you get to a point where you say, man, I never want to make that decision where somebody else is doing it for me. See, the dogs want me to retire too already.
They're ready for you to be done.
So, hey. This is a live podcast, Kilo. Control your sisters. Right, that's my 100-pound bully who thinks he runs the household, and he does. But
he probably does.
He does. Being told, Sage, that you got to retire at times when you're hurt it's an easier decision because it takes that out of your hand because you always think you can play longer. So good on Amari Cooper, but I'm not calling it complete retirement because in October or late September, he will have the itch. Whether he resists it or not, we'll see.
Yes. All right, tonight, game two of the NFL season, Chiefs, Chargers, Sao Paulo, Brazil. Chiefs are -3.5. Over-unders, 46.5. But, Sean, you said you have a problem with where this game is being played, when it's being played. Explain.
So do my dogs. They can't stand it. First off, I do love this game, and we'll get to this to the actual matchup here in a second.
Yeah.
I don't like it, and my guy DP, Dan Patrick, I think said the same thing.
Yep.
Is I don't like it because when it first came out, you know, in the offseason, you know, I'm not even really paying attention to when it is, oh, we're going to Brazil, we go to London, we go to Germany, right?
Right.
Is the timing of when we're going there and the two teams playing in it. One is, and I know you want your big dogs to go to Brazil, but this is the opening game. Okay, it's the opener. Fair. You get Patrick Mahomes and Herbert there Harbaugh and Andy Reid. I get it. But the first game of the season with a conference game, I mean, a division game going on the road, the importance of it, I'm not trying to diminish Brazil and being global, but Brazil needs to wait till the eighth game of the season. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, if this is the matchup 8 games in when they've solidified it in division, I may be able to – I can listen because you don't want to send two teams over there, at least you hope not, that are going to be boring to watch. You want it to be an exciting game with Mahomes and Herbert. You're going to get an exciting game.
Right.
So it's not even Brazil. Hell, I want to go to Brazil and sit on the beach in Sao Paulo and then go watch a football game my damn self.
Sounds good.
But – and I want to see all the beautiful sights surrounding it. You know what I mean?
I know those beautiful sights.
Just the beer and the ocean. Nothing else, right?
Nothing
with a pH, right? So I get it, but this game, I understand trying to go global, but we're shoving it down their throats. These two teams will be battling to the last couple weeks of the season for the division. I firmly believe that. To have to go do this on the travel schedule, and then, you know, listen, talk about Kansas City getting Swift kicking the nuts. Aren't they coming back 8 games later and got to play against the Philadelphia Eagles, like you said? Mm-hmm. Don't they play the second week? We don't have byes in the second week of the season. So I know nobody's going to feel sorry for the Chiefs, but you're not doing your fair-haired guys in the Super Bowl, not champion, but 3 times in a row been to it, and you're marketing Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and Taylor Swift. You're not doing them any you're right. doing them a disservice because you're sending them back home. So, you know, you're two tough games to start. I just don't like, I don't mind Brazil at all. In fact, I love it. I do mind the timing of it and who's playing it, because you shouldn't be having a divisional game that is not a divisional game where the other team's going to win three games. We're talking about competitive divisional game
right.
on the road in Brazil, and then they got to come back. And it's not like a Wednesday game. It's a Friday game, so you go Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then you're in preparation for the next week. Right. So I personally said I got a problem with who's playing in it this early. If you told gotcha. Me this was game 10, I don't have – and then the bye week was coming after for them?
Yes. Yep.
I don't have a problem with it. No issue for me.
Yeah, it's an interesting timing from the standpoint of the NFL. But like you said, they're trying to sell a product and send in Herbert and Mahomes and Reed and Harbaugh and everything over there. That will get those fans
the Kelce Swift connection.
Exactly. Yes. Right, no yeah. Doubt. But all right, well, let's look at the game. Of course, we have the Chiefs, who've been so dominant over years with Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. They will be missing Rashee Rice, whose six-game suspension is going on.
And don't discount even, that. That's big in the passing game.
Travel. Stage. Yep. He didn't even travel to Brazil. But Xavier Worthy's going to have to step up. Some other guys on that offense are going to have to step up and make big plays for Patrick Mahomes against a Chargers team that I feel like this is the year that they should be. Jim's got his system in. Jim's got, you know, he's built these guys now into the type of players he wants them to be. And we all know that's hard-nosed. We know that he wants to run the football. If Najee Harris is healthy or not, they don't care who it is. They drafted Amarion Hampton early to be one of their guys, and he will
they
be the guy.
They want bumpers, man. That's how yes. they play it, man.
And even on defense, same thing. Jesse Minner wants to build a run-stuffing team that can fly in the back end, and that's what they're building. So it is going to be an interesting game. The fact that it's in Brazil adds a whole nother element to it. But this is the year I expect the Chargers. You said they should be competing for the division. Yes, they should be right there. I know that division's good, but I feel like the Chargers should be better than the Broncos. They should be better than the Raiders, and they should at least be a wild card team with a good chance to fight against the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs, those top teams in the AFC.
Segs, I if not now, when?
Exactly.
I know Harbaugh.
And that's what I think. Yes.
100%. Because you're going with a team that's been to three Super Bowls in a row, there's got to be some kind of fatigue. I'm just sorry. Travis Kelce's a year older. Production has fallen off. That doesn't mean he's not going to be a great player, but it's still falling off.
We keep hearing the retirement word with him.
That's exactly right.
He really still
it's on his mind. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
Okay. Andy Reid's the best coach in football. I don't care. He doesn't matter. Andy Reid's fantastic. Patrick Mahomes, fantastic. But Segs, we've had a drop-off in numbers. I'm just for all the stat-happy people, their numbers offensively have dropped off. They're just so good under duress and when it matters. You know who's carried them the last 2 years during the regular season? It's been defense.
Yeah,
defense has carried them. And then when you need Mahomes to step up and do something in a big game, he does.
Yep.
Now, in the Super Bowl, he didn't because they were mauled. But I'm talking about, you know, even in the regular season when he's having a 190-yard passing game that it's really kind of just they're playing sideways and throwing bubbles and hitting Kelce. In that game, there's two or three plays where he makes you miss and then throws a side armor and then hits a guy on a double move go and boom, late. And they come back and win, right?
Yeah.
Somebody lays the ball on the ground and say, how could you lay the ball on the ground? Boom, Mahomes capitalized. That's who he is. And that's a tribute to him as a great player. But they have to – Segs, the rest of the league offensively has caught up. I can put it this way. I'd take 10 teams offensively. Now, Mahomes is the great equalizer, but I can tell you right now 10 teams offensively that I'd take like this of the whole offense. Now, Andy Reid and Mahomes, that's like adding three players because they just have a way of doing things different than the rest. But I can roll through them, man. Philadelphia, when they're right, their offense is better. Like a Buffalo, Baltimore, the Rams when Stafford's healthy, they're explosive. Nakua's going to
be the Lions when they had
the Cincinnati Bengals are going to score. The Lions, coordinator or not, they are going to score points.
Yes,
we go up and hell, Bo Nix is going to even though they got a great defense, Bo Nix and Denver starting to score, they're going to score. Jordan Love's team's going to score. So hell, the Cowboys are going to score. So my point is that if they didn't have Mahomes, even with Andy Reid, and it was a good player. They would not be favored to win the division. And some people think the Chargers can win the division already. There would be, we would be, and I know you could say that about taking Josh Allen from Buffalo, but there's a fall off right now. The rest of the world is catching up offensively. Now, they may explode Sigs, and he may throw for 50 touchdowns and be the MVP in Mahomes. But I think that if not now, win for the Chargers. And it is important that Herbert has another the moving year NFL-wise this year, Sigs. He's got to get to another level. And they have got to make sure their perimeter people, I know they're going to run it. Where they, if they get into a throwing contest, and he's a talented quarterback, throwing contest in a big game, can he give you what Josh Allen did against the Kansas City Chiefs in that one playoff game, Sigs, where they get back and forth? Can he get to the point where he's the reason, not where some think at times he's the detriment, which he's too good to be the detriment. You get my point there. You've heard it where, okay, the elevation, this is a big physical guy who can run, he's accurate, but when it matters and on the line, can he do what Josh has done, as what Mahomes has done, what we saw Jalen Hurts do? Can he elevate his team in those moments? And this is one of them. And it's early. I know it's Brazil. We can get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked by all the thick asses walking around, and it's Brazil and the sun and all that. Don't get sidetracked by that. Because when you enter the field, this is straight ass business, and nobody's going to cut him some slack because it was Brazil. If you go and get boat race by Mahomes, the same narrative is going to continue about him and the ability. Oh, they're physical, but can they get over the top? I agree with you. I think the gap's closed, and I think the Chargers do have a chance to win the division, but there is another level to Herbert's game, or at least one he's got to get them to February. I'm anxious to see it, and it starts tonight, and it is going to be heavily important on him because eventually, Sigs, you know this, you run into Fangio, which they did. I mean the Chiefs did, but you run into the Spagnolas, the Fangios, the really good defensive coordinators. They're going to take away your strength. The question is, do you have three or four more strengths like Philadelphia did, like the Chiefs have in the past? And if you're leaning on just the run game, even with a quarterback feat, and Herbert can run, witnessed by the Rose Bowl three touchdown runs that he had, he is going to have to throw it to beat a team like Kansas City or a team like Denver. Denver's not bullshitting on defense.
Right.
They're going to give you all you can handle. So there's got to be an elevation, and I think Herbert can. But I don't have him in my top five quarterbacks. I think we're still a step down, and he's got to take a step up potential-wise. No, it goes back to that. Is he a great player or is he a great talent? He's a really good quarterback with great skill set, but they haven't matched up completely yet. And real quick, Isaiah, Dak didn't even look the seam off the seam bender. He's talking about the hospital pass to Ferguson.
Yeah.
He says, Sean, do you believe the new rules toward bad decisions, i.e. hospital balls, with expected penalties after? Do you believe the new rules reward bad decisions? Oh, there's no doubt. He's talking. Yeah. Yes, you're talking about quarterback makes a bad read on a coverage. He shouldn't throw it and gets away with it because people are afraid to unload on somebody. There's no doubt. I see balls thrown into windows. You say, how do you fit that in there from a quarterback? It's because, well, maybe the safety doesn't want to drive on it because he doesn't want to get hit with a 50-grand suspension in a game. So they're less aggressive at the point of attack, which means more balls end up in receivers' hands, at least from the naked eye from me. So I'm 100% agree.
Yeah.
But I do love this game tonight, Sigs, and I think it all comes down to Chargers perimeter home run hitters. They'll match the physicality. And how does their offense deal with if their run game is stuffed by a good Chiefs defense? What will they do next, and how can they implement that to push the ball down the field against and Jim getting out and making sure that the aggressiveness stays there when they actually do take the runaway without abandoning it? And I think that'll be important.
I think one matchup I'm really looking at to see how it goes, because one big issue for the Chiefs.
And they lost their big tag. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Let's not forget losing that big offensive lineman for the Chargers. Your tackle in training camp put you in
Sean Slater.
When Slater got hurt, that takes away not only, but there's a lot of attitude that you lose on the offensive line and confidence with that guy being gone. Right.
Yeah. I just look at the Chiefs offensive tackles. They were bad last year. They were really bad last year, and teams took advantage of it. They drafted Josh Simmons. Oh, welcome to the NFL. Here's Khalil Mack for you. Week one in Brazil, you got to travel all the way down there. You're still getting your head still spinning because the NFL is such a different animal from college football, even if you played at Ohio State. Oh, and here's Khalil Mack. So can Khalil Mack make Mahomes' life miserable? He definitely has the skill to. Yeah, he's getting a little bit older, but he still has it, and he can still game wreck, and he could wreck this game for the Chiefs offense.
And as a young player, Sigs, you're swimming so much mentally, and then you're afraid to death of getting beat to the edge. You overstep, and the guy takes a charge inside. And Khalil Mack's been in the league long enough to have all the tricks and games involved, exactly. Right? And to move him around and put where you're just you want those offensive linemen, especially young ones, for their mind to be rolling 100 miles an hour. So when the ball snapped, they're 1 split second late getting out of their stance, or 1 split second early. We get the penalty. Now it's 1st and 15. We saw a lot of that with Tunsil, even as a veteran. But you know, and it puts it can be very, very miserable on you. And think about the 2 Super Bowls they lost, Segs. Their offensive line was dominated by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Philadelphia Eagles in those games. No matter who you are at quarterback, you're playing from your ass. Even us mere mortals, but even the ones who dress in a phone booth like Mahomes or Allen, when you're playing on your ass, the chances of you winning aren't very good. And Jalen Hurts got more looks at it last year in the Super Bowl than Mahomes did, because in the run, they stuffed him and took away a lot of stuff. And we always say physical defenses win Super Bowls, not finesse teams. And it's going to be – you're getting physical, and the Chiefs' defense has become physical. But I know the finesse part can happen. I'm anxious to see when it gets to nut-cutting time how those Chiefs do hold up against a Chargers defense that they hope is at the next level. And then on the other side, can Herbert, if he starts slow, can he win that game late? If it's just him, they have to rely on, and they don't have a two-dimensional team because the Chiefs have done a great job taking the runaway. And getting a healthy Najee Harris would be great, because that's why you went and got him from Pittsburgh, because he was the thumper, you know, and hopefully he recovers 100%. What was that, a July 4th accident, Segs? That's what that was, right?
Yeah.
A fireworks accident or something, right? So, but I'm anxious to see this, because I actually am anxious to see just where the focus is early in this game for both these teams, especially the Chargers. Andy Reid knows how to deal with all the distractions, and so does Harbaugh, but it's still the NFL, and you're coming out of training camp. It's the opener, and it's not even the opener, because you usually would have 2 more days. It's a Friday in Brazil that you've been there, so we'll find out who's in the business trip mode quickly in this one and how those coaches are preaching it.
All right, before we pick our, you know, MVP and stuff like that, let's talk about the big college game real quick. Michigan travels to Norman to face Oklahoma. We got the youngster Bryce Underwood going against a very hot name in John Mateer at the quarterback position. Oklahoma is starting 2 freshman offensive linemen against a team that is known for their defensive line. And they don't have Mason Graham. Yeah, they don't have Kenneth Grant. Josiah Stewart's moved along into the NFL, but they still have guys. They still have plenty of beef up front. They've added in transfers, and they got a freshman that is scary looking, that if he can come along in these next few weeks, could be starting as a true freshman at the defensive end spot. What's the difference in this game? Is it Mateer just being the veteran more so than Bryce Underwood playing at home, or do you give Michigan a real shot here?
And a comfortable setting with Arbuckle, the coordinator, because he knows what he's been with him when they're Washington State. Of all the things we go to stage, we all have a thing. Well, if the quarterback plays well, the team wins. That we all get into the habit of saying that. 2 things that have something to do with both, but are related to other parts. One is the one thing I know that has caused Oklahoma problems is when their offensive line isn't done. See, everybody thinks run, throw now. Right. No, Oklahoma, they want to run the football, man. I'm just telling you. You can say all you want about all the – when they're in the Big 12, they want to throw it. Look at the past successful Oklahoma teams. They have run the ball, and they played downhill with their offensive line. I just need to know, Segs, are they pillow fighting? Michigan ain't bringing no pillow fight. That's never been their MO, and that's not going to happen. So, one, and that's a high – I've played in that environment, Segs, in Norman. That's a tough place to play. But Michigan's game sets up for it, because they rely on wearing you out, and they'll take a fist fight to the bar. They'll take a fist fight to the field, to the line. Doesn't matter. So you're in a fist fight. So how does the offensive line deal with the defensive front, Michigan? That's it. On the flip side, for Underwood, is talent galore. Says you mentioned yesterday, we know $12 million worth of it in NIL money. I get it.
Yep.
My thing is, what is Venable's specialty? Dialing up looks that create problems for quarterbacks. It's the cat and mouse for me on Underwood and unrecognizing. And Michigan's offensive line is always good too, Segs. It's when there's teams that I know when I talk about Philadelphia Eagles, I'm talking about the Michigan Wolverines on the college level. So I'm curious to what Michigan's going to do to offset a young quarterback making his second start on the road against an improved, obviously, offensive team with Mateer, who is a I know it was against a lesser team, but Mateer can flat ass play, and he's tough as 100-year-old leather. He's a tough son of a bitch, and he can beat you with two dimensions. His toughness is there's a toughness about him that I love, which will permeate through the team. But I'm anxious to see what Venables does to Underwood and how he designs stuff to confuse. And on the offensive side, how Underwood, does he get carried away and just use his skill set, or does he lock in and say, okay, I got to play within this thing? But I can't coach his skill set out of him because I want to cut him loose.
Right.
He's too talented not to. So there's that fine line of, do we cut him loose and let it go, or are you going to do what Michigan does? We're going to run it. We don't want to throw it, but like 20, 22 times and control the tempo of the game to where we're not within one score, that we physically body beat them up so bad by the end of the game. That's it. But I'm going to tell you, advantage Mateer because he's a veteran and he's got his coordinator. Advantage physicality until Oklahoma proves it against a team of that magnitude. And then you get to – then it's the cat and mouse offensive coordinator quarterback for Michigan versus Venables' defense, and what's he going to do?
Right.
Does he just play it safe and say make him play patient? Or does he say, screw that, we're going to give him all kinds of looks and confuse him to see if we can get a strip sack fumble or get him throwing balls to places he wouldn't necessarily throw it in. Venables has to have a good game, as defense does, in order to confuse the quarterback. Because if you let Michigan do what they want to do, and we know what that is, Sags, run it a little, get some play action, and shorten the game, advantage Michigan. I still think it's advantage Michigan, but Mateer is a really good player they're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting game from both sides, because Oklahoma's trying to prove that they're back at this top tier,
and they want to prove that they're packing too. If you know what I mean, Sexy.
Yes.
Who's got the who's packing the most here?
Right.
We're not coming in as you're not coming in here and physical and us in our own building.
Right.
So you're exactly right. They're going to try to prove an ego point. The key is don't try to prove it so much that you forget that there's plays to be made. You're not swimming upstream against a Michigan team that's got that advantage in most teams they play. Right?
Yeah, because one thing you don't want to get behind Michigan. Like, you don't want to get behind 24-13 or 24-10.
There won't be enough time. They'll eat up too much clock. Because
they will run the ball. And it's for me, being a Michigan fan, I'm so interested to see the continued development of Underwood. Do they use his legs more? Because they didn't use it much. They didn't need to against New Mexico. You save it. You save it for these big games and these big moments when you need – it's a third and four, you know, in Oklahoma territory. Need to pick it up for a first down because you're not in field goal range.
Such a great point, too, because you're looking at it, you're saying, okay, it's played one game. The advantage for Underwood and Michigan in this is you don't have a lot of tape on the guy.
Right, yeah.
I don't have a lot of tape. I go back
and Chip Lindsey's new, so he's running a new offense, so there's just not a lot of –
everything about it, you're like, hey, man, I don't have a lot of tape on this cat. What am I going to do here? Because I don't know. I didn't get to see it all against New Mexico.
Right.
Like you said, didn't have to.
Right.
So when it comes to that, they could pull. There'll be something that Oklahoma didn't expect that Underwood's got to strengthen. So you can use that lack of tape to your advantage for a talented player, no doubt.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting game to watch. All right, real fast. We'll fly through our predictions here. Do you want to go division by division?
Yeah, just go division.
All right.
Let's go. Sorry, folks. I can't control if he's outside. Mowing lawns and doing all that.
Mailman showed up and dogs go crazy.
Yeah, but I'm here, so the mailman better not stay long, right?
There you go. Yeah, exactly. All right, NFC East, who do you got?
Philadelphia wins the division. Washington makes it as a wild card.
Okay. All right, let's go.
But close division. I hold Washington in high regard. So what we got, seven teams, right? Seven of each, okay? Okay.
I forgot it's seven. I wrote down six.
I know. Yeah, it's seven. Remember, we got three division and four wild card now, right?
I've got the Eagles and Commanders from that division as well. I got the Eagles winning it, Commanders in a wild card.
Okay.
Let's go
West.
West.
Okay, NFC West. I have the Rams winning the division.
I do as well.
I do believe there's a second team from that division, and I think – you know, while I love Sam Darnold, I don't know who the 49ers are, Sags. The McCaffrey slow. I don't know. Right now, because I'm between one or two teams, and now I heard that with the McCaffrey news and the hampering of it, and they're injured. I'll save my last wild card. My last wild card may come from that division.
Okay.
But right now, to me, it is the Rams, and the Rams are a legitimate Super Bowl threat based on Stafford's health.
Yeah. Okay, let's go NFC South.
And who do you have in that division?
I got the Bucks.
I meant four division winners and three wild cards.
Yes, three wild cards. Yeah. I got the Bucks. I just think what we saw last year from Baker Mayfield and company, I like. I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan. I don't think he's, but he showed me something last year that I think in that division that isn't very good, I'm going to take the Bucks.
South in both conferences are the weakest divisions in both things. And you had the you have the Rams winning the division right now.
Only team in the playoffs. Yes,
okay, I have the Rams. So we're on the same page there. Okay, I'm with you. I think Tampa wins the division. I think Atlanta's going to make some offensive improvements, Segs. I do. I think Carolina, I think Bryce Young's going to get better.
Yeah, I think
I think New Orleans is going to be playing for the first three picks in the draft next year. I don't think they're very good.
Yes.
But I got one team from it. I think it's Atlanta. I don't think anybody else makes – not Atlanta, but Tampa. I don't think anybody else makes the playoffs. And I think Baker Mayfield doesn't get the credit he deserves for what he's done to uplift the franchise. He's played really good football.
Agree. All right. NFC North.
NFC North. This is a nasty ass division, man. I'm even going to pass on the 49ers. I'm going to put three teams in the playoffs: Minnesota, wild card, Detroit, wild card. And I'm going to say Green Bay wins the division. But all three are battling for the division in the middle of December. Give me three from the division, which leaves the 49ers out. I pick the 49ers to make it every year because I just trust the franchise. But their wide receiver position concerns me over there, Seg. So give me three from the North. And I think that the Chicago Bears will also – they're going to beat those a couple of those teams in division that they aren't going to be favored to beat. But give me three from the division with the Bears charging. Kind of like the Raiders in their division. I think both are going to take the bottom of the division and move it up because I think the quarterbacks in both uplift their teams a little better. Caleb Williams will make enough plays to be formidable this year.
I do as well. I have the Lions in. I have the Packers in. I have the Bears in. I don't think the Vikings, I think.
Because of McCarthy and the
quarterback. Yeah, we got to wait. And I'm a huge McCarthy fan, but missing a full.
Yeah, he's your guy from Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah, not getting those reps as a rookie, being injured and everything.
If Sam Darnold was the quarterback, Segs, would you have taken them to make it? Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Yes.
You just think it's too premature for McCarthy.
Yes. And I think Ben Johnson is a huge difference maker for the Bears and Caleb Williams. And they've got a better offensive line. I mean, they were close last year to. Even with all the bullshit around them, they had talent, and we could see in moments where, and then they had the long losing streak and things went haywire when Eberflus was fired. And then we had Waldron fired early in the season and it was just chaos. I think
Ben Johnson also waiting on the Jordan Addison in Minnesota to get back on there. Yes. It's limited, which it went out and got Thielen back from Carolina.
Right.
So
yep.
We'll see.
Yep. Yes. All right. Let's go.
Okay. So who do you have in the final two there? Say, we won't give all the divisional. Who's your final two in the NFC?
I'm going Eagles Rams.
I can't argue with that. And it may be in LA this year as opposed to Philly. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I got Eagles Rams as well in the NFC championship game, but I don't think Washington or Green Bay are far behind, Segs. No, I don't.
I agree. But it all comes down to Stafford's health.
No doubt. If they tell me Stafford's going to miss it, if let's say they said he's going to miss, that it's going to be ailing him and he would miss 10 games, I'm not sure I put him in the playoffs.
Right.
I would then elevate. I would take the team like the 49ers or somebody else and elevate them to the playoffs. I think Stafford's that important. Even with Garoppolo there, I think Stafford's that important to that team.
Yes, for sure. For sure. All right.
AFC.
East.
Okay, AFC East. Buffalo wins the division. I think they're going to struggle to get a second team in. I lean to Miami, but Miami's finesse right now, so – I'm going to just put Buffalo in. I think New England's going to get better. I think the Jets have some good players. Give me one team from the division. I think the Miami Dolphins may still come up short, although they'll finesse enough in the regular season to be in contention to make the playoffs, whether it's a 9 or 10. But once they get the playoffs, you'll find that they're just not physical enough to roll through the AFC and all those good quarterbacks as well. Give me the Buffalo Bills to win it and battling for home field advantage in the playoffs for them.
Yes, I have the same thing. I have the Bills winning that division. All right, let's go to the South. One of the worst divisions in football, right there with the NFC South. Who do you got coming out of this? And
Texans, and the division's not close.
Yeah. Okay.
I look at this. I say, okay, they got the best defense. They've got the best wide receiver in Nico Collins in the division. When Mixon gets back, hopefully in 4 to 6 weeks, they would have the deepest running game in the division. their front seven and their secondary, their defense dominates. Their quarterback's the best in the division. Sorry to see to Trevor Lawrence. C.J. Stroud's a better player right now. And their coach is really good. We don't know about Liam Cohen. To me, they would have to miss to do a lot and miss a couple games to or something happen injury-wise. I just don't think the other teams – I don't trust the entire unit. The only thing for me, the question mark, is making sure that the run game's a fit, that did Mixon or that Chubb stays healthy and Mixon can get healthy. But how good's the offensive line? It can't be any worse than Houston than last year. I think they played good. They win the division by two games. They played great. They may be in contention for the home field advantage. Why six? Because the division. So they should win all six games.
They should.
They actually should. So I got one team, and it's the Texans in that division.
I have them as the winner as well. I do need to see C.J. Stroud and the offense play much better than they did last year. You know,
no doubt. That
second year letdown. And, yes, there was injuries, but everybody deals with injuries. And a quarterback that we thought he was that good struggled last year at times.
Better decision maker than he was the second year. And you know what, Stegs, also? I felt at times early on that the offensive line put him in a bind, that his head went to the pass rush, which it didn't do as a – you know what I'm saying? He was just letting it go. Right. That it was almost to the point you take that step, first guy's not open, boom, head down. Because he missed throws it the year before because he was the best intermediate thrower in football the year as a rookie, and he missed him. I think he'll get him back, and I think that the play action and a new coordinator and a new offensive line coach will help them regardless, Segs. If he just plays good, they're still the best team in the division. Yeah. Now you got to be a little lucky with injuries and the rest of it.
Right. That offensive line is still a question mark. All right, let's go let's go north.
I got no doubt two teams, and that's I think Cincinnati, even with their defense, but I love Burrow that much. I think they'll score, but can you just get a few stops, please? You play a little bit of defense? Can you start faster? Every year, if they get into the playoffs last year, the way they're playing at the end offensively, Sakes, who knows what they do in the postseason?
Right.
The problem is they're like that slow starter in baseball that the first month can't hit his way, couldn't hit it the ocean if he stood in a boat and jumped.
Yeah.
Did he miss it? They start out slow, and Joe start Burrow, they kind of sluggish around. And then they go on like a seven-game streak where you're like, damn,
best
I'm putting them in because I think the – I agreed. So I'm putting them in, but Baltimore wins the division, and Cincinnati makes the playoffs. And if I'm going by my final one would be the contest between the Miami and Pittsburgh. Give me Pittsburgh because they're more physical if I'm looking for a second one of those wild cards, because we'll get to the other one. And I got I think three teams make the playoffs for the other one. I do. So that would take one of the other ones away, meaning Miami gets probably left out. And I would say Pittsburgh could possibly – but I know that one from each division. I do have three from the West making it, though. So what do you have in the North?
I have the same two teams, the Ravens and the Bengals. And like you said, I just hope the Bengals can make some stops. I mean, I think the offense is so talented that – and I think a guy that is going to surprise a lot of people is Chase Brown, the running back.
Agreed.
You know, finally getting to – he's fresh. He's the guy now. He can come
out. His team.
It's
his backfield now.
Yes, his backfield. So I look forward to watching what he can do. So, yes, I have both those teams. I have the Steelers missing the playoffs. So the West.
I do too. I mean, the wild card, two wild cards come from out of there. The other wild card that I had was coming from the North, which will be Cincinnati Bengals. And so Miami misses out. Pittsburgh misses out. Because I'm going with three in that division. I mean, I labored back which one the three. I'm going Chiefs to win the division slightly, but I think the Chargers can. And the Chargers and Denver Broncos make the playoffs. And the Raiders, the Raiders make a move towards being better this year.
Yeah.
Even though it's my Raiders, I'd like to pick them in the playoffs. I don't think they're ready. But I got Denver and Chargers and Kansas City, all three in the playoffs. That's the three divisions there.
I hate to say it, but we're chalk in the AFC, and we only have one opposite team. You have the Vikings, I have the Bears in the NFC, so we're very chalk.
And we did not talk about this before.
No, I literally wrote mine down during the show. All right, who do you got in the AFC Championship game?
The Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, damn it, Sean, that's what I have written down
here. I wanted to choose Cincinnati. I just think Baltimore. And then it'll come down to that. And it comes down to one of them's going to the Super Bowl, Josh or Lamar. Give me that. And I got Buffalo and Philly in the Super Bowl.
All right. I got Baltimore and Philly in the Super Bowl.
Fair enough. And so then I got Buffalo finally winning it. And Buffalo, after the all Ravens. These years, winning it. There you go.
I have the Ravens winning
so, it. So the whole thing hinges on everything is our AFC championship game with Baltimore.
Yes.
And that. And the truth is, I'd be happy for any of them because Lamar, I would love to see that matchup with those guys. And then a Philly Buffalo or Philly Baltimore Super Bowl would be epic because, they'd give Jalen another chance to elevate, and it'd give one of those other two guys in the AFC a chance to prove that, we finally got ours in February. So there you go.
I think a Bills Ravens AFC championship game would just be incredible. We've seen the Chiefs. Gosh.
No matter where it's played, with you.
Those two teams battling. I mean, it's going to be cold.
Think about all the sidebars too, Segs, right? Yeah. All the sidebars, the quarterback matchup. Neither one have been to Super Bowl. Both win MVPs. Matter of fact, the last two seasons, the MVPs come from those two cats. So I think it'd be highest rated AFC championship game in the last 20 years, if not ever. I think you'd be looking at that if that got to that point.
For sure. All right. MVP, who you got?
You can choose this one first. See if we're on the same page here.
Yeah. I'm going Lamar. I wrote down Lamar. I think this is the year I have him winning the Super Bowl. I think Lamar and Derrick Henry, having Derrick Henry in that second year of the system, kind of figuring each other out even more. I just think Lamar is so talented. I think that he's ready to take a hold on the league and not let it go. And we may see a couple. He's already won, two? MVPs. This will be number three. I mean, I think we still got multiple MVPs left in Lamar. Just what he's been able to do. We talk about what Jalen Hurts has gotten better at and become the quarterback he is. Lamar, coming from some draft analyst saying he's a wide receiver to multi-time MVP. I got him for a third. I think he's the guy.
I'm going to go with easy for me to pick Lamar, but I'm going to be different just to be different, okay? Because I know when December hits, Lamar is going to be in the conversation. I'm going to go with the repeat, and then both are going to have two MVPs when they meet in the AFC Championship game.
That'll be
fun. I'm going to go Josh Allen, but I'm going to tell you, I think Burrow, because Burrow's weapons are going to keep – numbers-wise, he is going to be in it. His start's going to matter.
Yeah.
Burrow, and I'm going to – my long shot, it's not even a long shot. Keep an eye – on with his legs, Jaden Daniels is not going to have a sophomore slump. He is a I don't want to say sleeper pick, but a little bit of a long shot considering all the great quarterbacks he's got to go through. I think he's going to elevate his play, and I love what he does, and I love the way he's coached. And Cliff's going to put the ball in his hand a million times. You know what I'm saying? Kingsbury is. So in Washington, right? I mean, he's going to if you like physicality, it may not be for you, but the head coach makes sure you stay physical and then turns Cliff loose, right? So Jaden Daniels distance, but give me a three-horse race between three quarterbacks in the AFC when it gets down, the three top vote-getters and Jaden hanging around, Allen and Jackson and Burrow. I think it's the best, in my opinion. The depth of the quarterback position in the AFC is nasty as hell.
Oh, it's insane. It's insane.
No question about it. And coach of the year, one of those like Sean McDermott because Buffalo gets there, or Dan Quinn because of Washington challenges Philly. One of those. It's such a crapshoot because we get down to the last part of the season. I say, well, do you want the guy who's got the great team that wins, or do you want the guy who turns the team around and they're 9-8 but should be 4-13? So however they judge it, but the MVP will be a hell of a race this year.
Yeah, I think coach, I would watch Jim Harbaugh. If he can get the Chargers to make that jump into even a divisional round playoff game.
Well, Segs, if the Chargers win the division,
he's
Herbert will be in the MVP talk.
Yes, for sure.
If the Chargers win the division, matter of fact, Segs, I'm not so sure. If the Chargers win the division, he may be one of the front runners as a favorite going in the last few days. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because they can't win the division without him playing great football. They just can't. Whatever great football, that doesn't mean throwing it 50 times, 23 of 28, no picks, three touchdowns. That if they win the division, Herbert will have played really good football, which will thrust him into the MVP conversation. If they don't win the division, make the playoffs, good season. But if they win the division and they overtake Kansas City in the division, Herbert's name will be mentioned, because otherwise they won't be good enough unless he has an MVP year to win that division. Yet they will be good enough to hang around, because Jim knows how to coach football and he's damn good at it. So
I'm ready for a fun NFL season. I don't know about you. No, I do know about you. You're pumped, ready for it. Yeah.
Can't wait, brother.
Football should be fun as always. So we got a lot to unpack come Monday.
I can't wait. Oh, my goodness, dude. We don't need a four-hour podcast. That's 5 days a week is why we got it. So we'll hit it all, but we will break it down. And even though, Sigs, you know this, even though it's a kind of a weird college football, typical after the opening week of college football to get this, that Oklahoma-Michigan game, Iowa-Iowa State's intriguing for them, even though it may not be an exciting game. It does matter, and there's implications. So there's a couple of them that'll be pretty good. But as you and I both know, somebody will look really crappy and somebody will surprise us. There'll be something coming out of this week and we say, that happened?
What? Yeah.
But yeah, there you go. Right. So I can't wait. Great stuff and great week, brother. And I look forward to next week.
All right. Yeah, we'll be back Monday, noon central. We'll break it all down for you as we do every single day. All right. We will talk to you guys on Monday. See you.